Relationships are a most important aspect of life. It is impossible to pass through this world without learning social skills. This aspect of human nature is first learned at home, where we are taught to obey our parents and respect our siblings. As we pass through school into work, we learn the importance of working with others and following orders. As life takes us through adolescence, into marriage, the once all-important relationship with our parents is replaced by that which we enjoy with our spouse, with whom we covenant to be faithful unto death. There are many various relationships in our lives, all of which are vital for our happiness in this world. By far, the most important relationship which must be cultivated is with the one who is our Creator. This, of course, is God. In the Psalm 5, David testifies to the relationship he enjoys with God, but he also speaks of those who have no relationship with God. This is how things are in the world today. There are some who know God, who walk with God. There are others who are without God. How is it with you? Are you aware of God's love and mercy? Do you live with an awareness of God's forgiveness and the glory that He has prepared for you beyond death? Or is God a distant irrelevance in your thinking? First of all, I want to talk to you about those who have fellowship with God. What does it mean to know God? To know God is to have fellowship with Him, to have communion with Him. David spoke of his prayerfulness here. He describes himself as a man who values prayer. Those who know God pray. Prayer is as vital to the Christian as air is to the natural body. David had the confidence that God will hear his prayer. My voice, he said, shalt thou hear in the morning. O Lord, in the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee. In the Psalm 3, the psalmist speaks of morning devotions. In the Psalm 4, evening prayers are in view. Now in the Psalm 5, he returns to the morning. There is a picture of constant fellowship with God here. Prayer is communicating with God on a regular basis. This is a functional relationship. In speaking about his relationship with God, David also talks about the mercy of God. In the verse 7, he describes himself as coming into God's house in the multitude of God's mercies. Having a relationship with God is wholly dependent upon the mercies of God. A Christian is no better than any other person. All of us are sinners. And the reason why some people are saved is not because they are better people, but because they enjoy the mercy of God, the forgiveness of God. To have a relationship with God is to receive God's mercy. But if you are to receive God's mercy, you must acknowledge that you are in need of mercy. And then David talks about himself worshipping God. As he came into God's house in the multitude of God's mercies, he worshipped towards God's holy temple. Christians need to worship God, both privately and publicly. Ensure, dear Christian, that you attend a church where the gospel is preached and where you receive food for your souls. David also talked about righteousness. He wanted to be led in righteousness. The person who fellowships with God aspires to a righteous life. A Christian has repented of his sin. Indeed, a Christian repents of his sin. He values the law of God and the principles of God's word. Christianity changes and transforms a life, or it would not be Christianity if you think that you can cling onto Christianity and live a life of sin. You're mistaken. That is not Christianity. It's hypocrisy. It's a sham. But it's not Christianity. David also talks about joy. Towards the end of the psalm in the verse 11, the inspired poet declared, "Let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice." There is happiness in enjoying a relationship with God that you will not find anywhere else. David was content that God would bless the righteous. The blessing of God is a beautiful experience. There is nothing more wonderful in the world than to know that God is blessing you. When you enter his family, this is your portion. As every parent will not withhold that which is good from their children, so the Lord will never withhold that which is good from his people. He will bless his people. David ultimately knew that God would protect them as with a shield. And this is how the psalm finishes. The shield of God protecting the people of God. The one that gives eternal life will preserve our souls. He will keep us in this world. The preservation of this relationship with God is in itself a spiritual gift. Jesus said, "No man will pluck his sheep from his hand." You're in the hand of God today if you're a Christian. And your salvation is not about you or your feelings or your words or your prayers. It's about God. It's about his mercy. It's about him protecting you. How gracious he is. We can depend upon that. So David describes those who have a relationship with God, who have fellowship with God. Are you enjoying this fellowship today? If you are not, you reach out for God's mercy. But then I also want to talk about those who have no fellowship with God, who have no relationship. They are a people separated from God. What does it mean to be separated from God in the words of this psalm? Well, David talks about rejection, to be rejected by God. While the Christian has been brought into God's favor, the people who are not Christians are excluded from these good things. God has no pleasure in wickedness, we are informed. The foolish shall not stand in God's sight. The Lord hates all workers of iniquity. What is wickedness? It is an attitude of heart. It is a condition of soul. It is an inclination of mind. Whether we are religious or irreligious, whether we are respectable or unrespectable, whether we are lawless or lawful, it matters not. Wickedness is the breaking of God's holy law. Who can claim that they have lived up to his standards? As St. Paul wrote, "All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Therefore, because of sin, we are all separated from God. This is our unhappy condition." Sin separates us from God and it puts us in a position where we are rejected by God. And rejection by God will always lead to judgment. David speaks here of destruction for the wicked. This is one of the great messages of the Bible, that we are accountable to God, and that we will one day answer for our sins. There is a judgment day. One day we will be judged not for the sins of others, but for our own sins. Let them fall, David said, by their own counsels. We fall by our own sins. We are judged for our own sins. And if you have not experienced God's mercy and God's forgiveness, you are facing judgment day. And that will be a most honest day when everything will be revealed. Just think about it. Every aspect of your life being opened up before God, the one who made all things. That's an awesome thing. And it's reality. It's the greatest reality that exists. Sin is rebellion. It is rebellion against God, and God in justice will ultimately deal with the rebels. If you today are facing the justice of God, if you're aware of your own sinfulness and you wonder, what should I do? There is hope. You can enjoy the blessed and happy relationship with God I have already described. How? How can you have a happy relationship with God? Through faith and love. David said, "Let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice." Are you willing to trust God with your soul? To take your soul, that most precious possession that you have, and to say, "God, I need you to forgive me. I'm so glad that you sent your son to die for me. I know there is hope for my soul, but I must trust you. Here's my soul. Take it and seal it with your mercy." David said, "Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. If you love me," Christ said, "keep my commandments. Will you love the one who gave his son for you? And will you walk in his ways?" I would appeal to you to do this. Don't continue on through life being separated from God. Find and enjoy the mercy of God and discover a happiness that up until now has escaped your grasp. Come to Jesus while God is calling. I thank you so much for listening.